Again, you're in great voice, and it's wonderful to just be part of a congregation that sings so well. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to continue looking at this letter of 1 Peter, and I want to look at this little section of it today, simply under this heading, Stewards of Grace. Now, a steward is someone who looks after something that's not necessarily their own. Something that's been entrusted to them, something that's been given into their care, and they look after it, they care for it, whatever it is. Whatever they've been given, they use it wisely, they use it carefully, they use it faithfully. And we say they're good stewards. Because whatever has been set into their hands, whatever has been entrusted to them, they're just very careful about using it. And they make the best of it. Peter, in his letter, calls us to be stewards, not just of physical things, and yet we need to be doing that as well. We need to be wise. We need to be godly about how we use all the things that are entrusted to us. We need to be good stewards. We need to be good stewards of this beautiful world around us. But especially, Peter calls us to be stewards of God's grace. God has shown us grace in Jesus Christ. God has poured that grace into our lives through Jesus. Be good stewards of that grace. And so Peter says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. So it's not if you have received a gift from God. If God has given you something, it's you have something. Each one should use whatever gift he has to serve others. All of us have a gift to be used in the service of others. So we use our gift to serve others, and here it is, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms, being good stewards. A steward is someone who faithfully administers what's been entrusted to them. God has poured his grace into our lives through Jesus Christ, and we are called to faithfully administer, to be good stewards of that grace. And Peter says it's all the more important because the end of all things is near. Now, sometimes when we hear that, or when we hear it in the older version, the end is nigh, we imagine somebody trudging around the streets with a sort of sandwich board on that says the end is nigh, and they have a long face. That's not what Peter is talking about. Somebody answer that one. The end, it's not brought about by nuclear catastrophe, which sometimes we worry about. The end is not brought about by environmental disaster. The end is brought about by the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, the New Testament doesn't go into any great details about when he is coming, but the New Testament is certain that Jesus is coming again. Just as certain as Jesus was born in a stable in Bethlehem, the New Testament teaches Jesus will come again. In Bethlehem, quiet, almost unnoticed, but when Jesus comes again, it will be very different. No one will miss him. We've talked about how we stand firm in a world that's shaky, in a world that's changing, and Peter has helped us a lot with that along the way. But one of the ways that we as God's people can stand firm in a world that's increasingly shaky is to realize the end of all things is near. Jesus is coming back. And so we can look forward to that with confidence because of Jesus. So we don't look to the future with anxiety and worry and how is this going to end up. We know. The Bible teaches us how this is going to end up. Jesus will come back again. So part of our standing firm in this increasingly shaky world is remembering that Jesus is coming back. And as we wait for that, our lives should be transformed. So we become good stewards of everything that God has entrusted to us. What does that look like? Well, it affects our attitudes. It is so easy to become cynical about everything and everyone. And that just dominates our attitudes. It is so easy to become negative. It is so easy to become critical. We're good stewards of God's grace whenever we demonstrate that grace in our attitudes. Whenever cynicism gets set to one side and we're positive because of Jesus, we demonstrate our stewardship of God's grace in our actions, in our relationships, because they're positive, they're hopeful, they're creative, they're joyful, because of Jesus. Stewards of God's grace. And so we become people who love one another deeply. Not because we're always lovable, but because God has first loved us. God, who has reached out to us in Jesus Christ, poured grace into our lives. So Peter says, love one another deeply. There's nothing superficial about this love. Sometimes there is superficial about the love that we show, something superficial about the love we show to each other. And it's a smile. That's a nice word. But that's as far as it goes. It doesn't go any deeper than that. Love one another deeply. Not superficial. Not conditional. I will love you as long as you behave like me. I will love you as long as you think the same way that I think. I will love you and you fill in the blanks. We are very good. Maybe we don't say these things, but we behave them at times. When God pours his grace into our lives, then we're good stewards of that grace when we live it out in our relationships and we show love without conditions. Not love when we feel like it, love when it's easy. We love deeply as God has loved us in Jesus Christ. A deep love calls us to be quick to forgive. It's costly. If you can't quite understand that, then look at the cross. That was where our forgiveness was won, and yet it was hugely costly to God. His one and only Son. Costly. We love deeply. We forgive. Because love covers over this multitude of sins. It's not that love ignores those sins. God did not ignore our sins when he sent Jesus. God recognized our sins, and in his love, he gave Jesus to deal with them. But this love overcomes the determination to hold a grudge. You know, church should be the place where people who have been forgiven by God are quick to forgive and be forgiven. But very often, church can be the place where we nurse grudges, where we harbor grudges, maybe to the extent or for the length of time that we've forgotten why we had it in the first place, but we know we don't talk to them. We know we don't get on with them. Not quite sure why, but I just don't. Church should be the place where, because we are stewards of the grace that God has poured into our lives, we're quick to forgive and be forgiven. Peter says it should be the place where we offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Funny how Peter keeps going back to this grumbling word. I don't know whether he knew any Ulster Scots, but I think he would put gurn in there. Offer hospitality without whinging, without gurning. Do it joyfully. Do it joyfully. Because that's how God has treated you. So, what are you doing with what God has placed in your life? How are you stewarding the grace that God has poured into your life? Remember the story that Jesus told? Of a man who was going off on a long journey and he gives his servants money to look after. Two of those servants take the money and they put it to work and they're good stewards of it. The third servant just takes that money and he digs a hole and he buries it in the ground and he keeps it hidden away there and he's not a good steward. And we know what Jesus thought about that. What are you doing with what God has given you? Are you a good steward, faithfully administering God's grace? Or have you simply buried it away? Thank you, God, that you love me. Thank you that you gave Jesus to die for me. Thank you for the grace you've shown to me, but please don't expect me to do anything with it. I'll just hold it to myself. I'll keep it buried in the ground. I will not be a good steward of it. Are you a good steward, faithfully administering God's grace? Why? Why should we do that? Why should we be good stewards? Well, Peter helps us with that as well. He simply says, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. When you and I are good stewards of God's grace, God is praised. When people experience something of the love of God because of the way you treat them, because of your attitudes, my attitudes, our actions, our relationships, when people begin to experience something of the grace of God through his people, Peter says God's praised. Be a good steward of what God has placed in your life so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. So when we're good stewards, people look to God. And here's the truth. Your life will point people towards something or someone. When people get alongside you, very quickly they will know what the big emphasis in your life is. You will point them to something, to someone in your life. It could be, look at my bank balance. It could be, look at the wonderful home that I live in. It could be, look at the successful career I'm having. It could be 101 things which in themselves are good and right and there's nothing wrong with them. But if our lives fail to point towards Jesus Christ and the grace that God has poured into us through him, then we have missed the point. We have missed the point. God has poured his grace into our lives, given to us that gift of eternal life in Jesus. The Bible simply says God so loved the world. And if you are in this world, that includes you. God so loved this world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever, shall not perish, but rather have eternal life. This is grace. Did we deserve it? Did you and I deserve Jesus? No. Do we deserve God's ongoing grace in our lives day after day? No. God gives us undeserved love. God shows us grace. I've used the phrase before. It's a phrase that a former moderator of our General Assembly used for his year, and it's simply this: we have been redeemed by grace to relate with grace. Redeemed by grace, to relate with grace. It's about being a good steward of what God has placed in our lives. So how are you getting on? But the good news is it doesn't depend on your ability, my ability. It simply depends on us being open to God, recognizing what he has done for us, and then seeking to use what he has given to us for the praise of his glory. Can you imagine the difference we can make in our communities if today we commit ourselves to God to be good stewards of the grace he has poured into our lives? We will transform our communities, our homes, our workplaces. Let's pray together. God of all grace, we are astounded at the love you've shown us in Jesus, a love that we cannot earn, that we do not deserve, and yet that you so freely give. Lord, if we have not experienced that love, then help us by your Spirit. Give us no peace, we pray, until we know the peace of God in Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, as you have redeemed us, bought us back for yourself through grace, help us, we pray, to relate with grace also. And all this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.